This line is burning, turning to ashes. It hits the ear. Every step is a day in the week. It's a Sunday or Monday, March over months of the year.
Welcome to Nosecast. Homilies delivered in the Holy Gnosis of Thomas Chapel, the Ecclesia Gnostica, in Salt Lake City, Utah, by the Reverend Troy Pierce.
Today is the beginning of Holy Week, Palm Sunday. The phrase that comes to mind when I think of Holy Week from most people's perspectives, kind of the perspective of the world, is those rhetorical questions that you do when you catch kids doing weird things. What's the meaning of this? And if you look at what we're doing here, it's a little weird. Lots of people wonder, what's the meaning of this? What does this mean? And that's indicative of the general attitude we have in the modern world. Things are not themselves, they can somehow be reduced to some other meaning. Be merely this, merely that. In doing so, they lose so much of their richness. So before considering different possible meanings of Palm Sunday, let's reflect that it is an experience and a symbol, first of all. That it is our part not so much to decode the story, best to enter into it. There is the ancient art of Lectio Divina, praying the scriptures. And it's not merely reciting the scriptures in prayer. One is called to adopt the scriptures in a way as one's own, to become the writer of the scriptures, to become the voice of the scriptures, to interact with them on this very deep level, this experiential level. And Holy Week, it's Holy Week because we enter into the story. We don't just commemorate it. We just mark it off on the calendar and say, well, this historical event happened today, more or less, a couple thousand years ago, give or take. But that in attending these services, and in our inner life most especially, the story lives. The story lives within us. And that connecting to that livingness of the story is the most important aspect of Holy Week. Observances and ceremonies, they don't aid us in that connection. They're just interesting things. Or, if you prefer, or being a bit ironic, they're quaint. They're not living. They don't produce gnosis. They don't bring us forward in our own growth and transformation. So, the story Palm Sunday is first and foremost its own thing. It is the story of a procession. In modern terms, a parade. And in the Roman Empire, processions were a very big thing, but they weren't things done usually for the common man on the street. This was for triumphant generals. People had won wars against Rome's enemy. The triumphal procession in Rome was like an exhibition. It was also congratulations. PR for the person who had made the victory. These things could last. They became more and more lavish as time went on. It could last for days. And one demonstrated to the people of Rome that a real victory had been won, that things had happened somewhere else. They didn't have TV, might not believe word of mouth, but when things were demonstrated, they could see. Yes, indeed, this was a great general, this is a great victory. Look at all the slaves, all the captives he took, all the arms and armor he took from the enemy. I see it. Okay, this is good. And more immediately to the milieu of Jesus entering Jerusalem was the annual procession of the Roman governor to Jerusalem. Sort of have this whole garrison of troops, Romans there to keep order during Passover. So every year, there would be this procession marching in with the troops, pomp and ceremony, banners, horns. And the governor would in this way show the people of Rome his power, and that he was there to keep order. You can just imagine that a few days later, in that same town, a different procession took place. This time, with a teacher, with people of the peasant class, without soldiers, with only the pomp and ceremony of waving palm leaves and throwing them on the ground, and throwing their cloaks on the ground for this procession. Think of this many different ways. One of them is that people love a parade. It's a tradition in New Orleans of having these marching bands or these parades and processions. There was always sort of a second line following afterwards of people who just thought it was a good idea to join in. And these could go on for as long as the original parade. There's something contagious about celebration. But why would anybody be interested in just somebody riding in? It seems that there's also a breaking in of the symbolic nature, the eternal nature. Something transformative happening that was contagious across these people. And look at the cross of palm as being a foreshadowing of the crucifixion, was being a symbol of that breaking in, that the eternal broke through in a way that was recognized, sort of contagiously, spontaneously by people, as well as its other meanings. And in this horizontal path into Jerusalem, this eternal symbolism, this transformative effect took place as well. There was a recognition, of course. In Greek, the ways of articulating the word recognition is gnosis, gnosko. They knew him. They had some gnosis of who he was. This didn't last. One of those things that are an irony of the story, if you will, that probably a lot of the same people who were there waving palm fronds and shouting Hosanna were also there at condemnation, the crucifixion, jeering and cursing, seen as different ways, different traditions. But to my mind, it brings us to a fundamental aspect of our own gnosis. That is, there are times and places when we can kind of benefit from a circumstance, benefit from something going on, in service, from some symbolic or ritual action, or some beautiful place or event, or a beautiful inner feeling, something that is contagious, catches us up. And lets us live at a somewhat higher level than normal day-to-day selves. We live with fuller understanding, fuller gnosis for time. And then, circumstances change, we're back where we were. We're so much like the people who are the crowds, multitudes, shouting Hosanna, being caught up in this symbolic act. After it's done, the effect fades. That's why, even though so many people, if not everybody, has deep spiritual experiences, has epiphanies, they aren't always impacted or changed by them. They don't turn them into gnosis and thereby continue to live with that. It is not these higher states of attainment that are the point of spiritual practice. They're nice, but the time in between them is also the point, or perhaps the main point. Think of these epiphanies, these experiences of seeing clearly are seen from a divine perspective as being a part of what we seek. But to bring that into our day-to-day lives, to attain gnosis from that, be transformed ourselves by that, is a deep practice. It requires us to reflect upon it, and to also have a symbol system or a meaning system that will allow us to keep that, to capture it, to contain it, have some means keeping it long enough to learn from it, to grow in the presence of it, to be transformed. It's not without reason that there are a lot of seed and growth and harvesting symbolism in the scriptures. It's that these things do take time. The seed is planted. If you have an epiphany, if you have a deep experience of a symbol, the seed is planted. But it must be kept. It must have the soil to grow in. And time to grow. And that is our work. We can seek out epiphanies, great experiences. More often than not, we don't get them if we're looking for them. If we're planning on them especially. We tend to not get what we plan on in terms of spiritual experience. But when they do come, and they do come, sometimes when they're least expected, we must hold on to them, reflect upon them, and obtain gnosis from them, to be transformed not just for the moment, or caught up in the moment, but the next day, the day after Palm Sunday, still be in possession of that transformative gnosis in some way, and the day after that. The world, the wheel of fortune dominates. Reminded of the Carmina Burana, where the refrain is, "Oh fortuna, oh fortune, how horrible this is. Things get good, then things get bad." But, you know, just in case you wanted to just commiserate at the bad parts, then they get good again. You know, it's so annoying. And so, in the cycle of things, you must keep to that divine access, which is the vertical arm of the cross, that which leads us ever forward, no matter our outward circumstances. And it is that ultimate seed planted within us, the seed of light growing within us. It is a mystery. It is also what it is, primarily. It is an experience. It is a reality more than it is a metaphor. We have that within us. And all of these things that we do, all of these symbolic actions, all this participation in symbolism, is there to help provide a container for that seed, to allow that seed to grow, nourish it. That is who we truly are in this world. In the story, see ourselves as being part of the crowd. Also see ourselves as being the donkey that carries the Lord into Jerusalem. That was the symbolism Francis identified most with. We are, in so many ways, this carrier of this divine nature. But in the Gnostic perspective, not only are we the donkey, we are also Christ ourselves, not fully realized, not fully known, but having within us Christ within, having within us the capacity to manifest the divine within ourselves into the world. Having that great potential is also having a great responsibility to nurture that within ourselves, to give ourselves space, give ourselves opportunities to grow, to have these stories, something like a trellis, to grow upon. Encounter them again in a different frame of mind, in a different point on the circle of fortune, the wheel of fortune turning always, is to come again. Come again to Palm Sunday. We'll come again to the rest of Holy Week. But we will be different. We'll have a different effect upon us. And as things circle, they also spiral. They move in that transcendent direction as we realize who we truly are, that recognition that is Gnosis. So, let us reflect as we enter this period of Holy Week on this story. Not just the story of Palm Sunday, but the whole Easter story, this Holy Week. See how it affects us. Listen to that inner echo. See how we can participate in it and have it participate in us. That deep connection. This is the point of all of this. This is not mere commemoration. This is a symbolic act. A living symbolic act. We ourselves change. We change it by changing within ourselves. Our participation is key. And may we enter into this story of Christ and make it our own in our own lives. May the mystery of that which hangs twixt heaven and earth descend upon us, remain with us all. Information and resources on Gnosticism, visit the Gnosis Archive at gnosis.org. That's GNOSIS.ORG. And the Gnosis Institute at gnosisinstitute.org. If you'd like to continue receiving these podcasts, please consider a voluntary subscription of either $13 or $25 a year. That's $1 to $2 a month to make it possible to continue to provide this service. Thank you.